Praise the Lord, everyone, this morning. I got some volume up here. So good to be in the house of the Lord. Welcome to the United Pentecostal Church of Paris. If this is your first time here, we're so glad that you made it this morning. Praise God. We're looking forward to some great things happening around here this morning. I was thinking this morning about a character in the Word of God. A young man named Zacchaeus. Me and him had a lot in common. We were both short. But the Bible says that Jesus was going to pass his way, and he heard about it, and he began to climb a tree, and he got the master's attention. Isn't that what we come today, this morning, for? To get his attention? Praise God. And as Jesus saw Zacchaeus up in that tree, he pointed to him and he said, "Zacchaeus, today I'm coming to your house." Now, I don't know about you, a lot of us don't like people inviting themselves over, right? Just, "I'm coming over to your house." But on that day, Jesus spoke into his life, "I'm coming over to your house." What can we do this morning as we enter into a house of worship and we begin to try to gain his attention? So be careful if you get the Lord's attention. He might just invite himself into your house this morning. Praise God. I'm so thankful for the Word of God this morning. We do have those that we need to pray for this morning. We have Eric Dozier, Brother and Sister Charles Fleming, Sister Dee Dee Freeland, Brother and Sister Griffith, Kenny Hamm, Michael Malone, Georgia McCool. We need to lift them up in prayer. There's others on our list up this morning that we want to certainly bring them to the Lord in prayer this morning. Let's stand this morning. If you've got a special need in your life today, we're going to open up this altar area for you. If you would like prayer in your body today, would you please come forward as we bring these needs to the Lord, and others will pray with you and anoint you with oil. We're going to believe God for a miracle, praise God, in your life this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer for these. Hallelujah. Father, we're so thankful, oh God, that you hear our cry, Lord. You hear our prayer this morning. And we're here to get your attention, Lord, for these that need healing in their body, Lord. We pray today, God, in your name, in faith, oh God, that you're going to touch and heal, Lord, that you're going to minister, hallelujah, into the lives of these people in the name of Jesus this morning.
Glory, and it's mine, yes, it's mine. calling on the God of Jacob, whose love endures through generations. I know that you will keep your covenant. I'm calling on the God of Moses, the one who opened up the ocean. I need you now to do the same thing for me.
Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock, oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness.
On your faithfulness.
Now you are the same God. You are.
praise, God. Let's just lift our hands just for a moment. Father, we're so thankful. Hallelujah. For your sweet presence in this house. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, we lift you up together. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Praise God. You can be seated momentarily. We got a few announcements we want to get out of the way this morning. Praise God. Don't forget 21 days of prayer. How many is excited about that? Praise God. 21 days. My goodness. Your answer may have been released on day one, but you may not get it till day 21. Praise God. So we're just going to keep pushing and praying. 9-12, on September the 12th, there's going to be a North Texas Men's Conference. August 20th is the sign-up deadline. So we need to know if there's going to be overnight stayers or van riders. I think it says $5 if you want to ride in a van. Sign-up required is in the foyer, and you can register it online or at the door. How many's ever been to one of those men's conferences? Were you blessed? Were you strengthened? Praise God. That's an awesome time. Let's try to get some men together for that. 8:23, there's going to be the watch. It's going to be a men's hangout at the R.L. Meyer Center. That's going to be at 6 p.m. August 24th, 27th, and 31st. Everybody say revival.
Revival.
We're going to have revival with Brother Jonathan Whittemore in the a.m. and p.m. services. Praise God. We're looking forward to those special time. August 30th, there's going to be a Ladies United Fellowship brunch at the R.L. Meyer Center, 10 o'clock to 11:30. I'm sure there's a sign up for that also. Please, could we stand again? We're going to get our. It's easier to give when you're standing. I hate to get y'all up and down. Praise God. But can we get our ushers to come this morning? Praise God. We're going to receive our tithes and offering this morning. If God has blessed you, now it's your turn. Praise God. And if He hadn't blessed you, it's still your turn. Praise God. Because if you give to Him, He's going to press down. He's going to give you more and abundantly. Praise God. And I know that many of you can testify that God has blessed you in great manner. Let's go to the Lord in prayer for this offering. Father, we're so thankful today, Lord. Lord, you provide everything that we have need of today. And Lord, we pray that you would provide the needs of this offering, that you would bless every home, every family, every individual in this house today as we give into your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all give to the Lord this morning. Praise God.
They say this mountain can't be moved. They say these chains will never break. But they don't know you like we do. There is power in your name. We've heard that there is no way. Thank you.
Come on, he said it. That settles it this morning. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We worship you, God. We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We worship you, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm so thankful that God has the final say. Amen. What he says matters not what the adversary tries to combat with. If God ever said it once, amen, that forever settles it. Aren't you thankful that God knows where you are this morning? He knows all about you. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, praise team. It's great to be in church on a Sunday morning with God's people. Amen. Amen. Expecting God to meet with us today. Amen. Let me just say this. Amen. Any Sunday could be a life-changing Sunday. Amen. It's all about what you make it. Amen. God, I've said it 1,000 times, and I'll say it probably 1,000 more times if God gives me breath in my body, then God will never force himself on any person, but God will respond if you'll respond to him. Amen. God doesn't push himself on you, but if you'll lift your hands, if you'll worship, if you'll praise, whatever you want to do, God will respond to you this morning. Amen. Doesn't matter if you walked in heavy, you can leave feeling light this morning. I just believe that on this Sunday morning. If I could have a little bit of monitor, please. I do want to say this here. A couple of weeks ago, I mentioned to you about our church giving an offering towards Central Texas and the horrible floods that happened there here a few weeks ago. And tonight in our 6 p.m. service, we will take an offering specifically for that. I spoke to an individual who serves on the board for Reach Out America, which is an arm that is supported by our organization, the United Pentecostal Church. And he assured me again yesterday evening on the phone that all proceeds from this will go towards the Central Texas floods. It typically takes around $1,500 to fill a trailer up to send down to Central Texas. And so anything you give tonight, $5, $10, $100, whatever you want to give, I know to be a blessing. Amen. And God will bless you for that. So please be mindful of that and prayerful of that. And we'll take that this evening in our 6 p.m. service. Looking forward to a great night tonight where the Kelso is going to be preaching. Always does a great job. Amen. Looking forward to that. It's going to be a great service. Amen. Amen. So I encourage you, be in church tonight. I believe God's going to move. We are in the middle of 21 days of prayer. And tonight at 5:15, we'll all meet here in the sanctuary from 5:15 to 5:45. If you remember back on June the 8th, we met here for a season of prayer before our Pentecost Sunday evening service. And God met with us in a special way that night. And the Holy Ghost can do the same thing tonight. Amen. I encourage you. It'd be great to have a full house here at 5:15, 5:15 to 5:45, praying. Then tomorrow night, everyone said tomorrow night. And I'll mention this again tonight, but tomorrow night from 7 to 8, we'll do this for the next 2 Monday nights, is corporate prayer here at our church from 7 to 8. It's not going to be very structured per se. We'll just come in, we'll start it, we'll pray together, and then we'll have maybe some focused prayer at the end. But I encourage you, make every effort you can. I know it's Monday and it's hard sometimes with work and school. I understand all of that, but I ask you for the next 2 Monday nights, if you can, make an effort to be here at 7 o'clock on Monday evening from 7 to 7:45, 8 o'clock. And I believe God can meet with us. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I learned in my short 39 years that God don't need music. God don't even need preaching. He just needs a few folks to get together and pray, and something can happen in our midst. Amen. And I believe God wants to meet with us. If you're a guest today, God bless you for being at the United Pentecostal Church of Paris. Give our guest a hand. Thank you, amen, for making us a part of your day. Amen. Our prayer is always that you leave here strengthened, you leave here encouraged, and that God would touch you in a special, special way. Amen. 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 Matthew chapter 12 is where we're taking our text today. Matthew chapter 12. And I'll read verses 43 through 45. This is Jesus speaking here, and he says these words that when an unclean spirit, when it leaves a man, it walks through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. The Spirit says to itself, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he has come to the house he left, he finds it. It's empty, it's swept, and it is garnished. And that spirit, the Bible says, he goes away and he takes with himself seven more spirits that are more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. I want to focus one more time on verse 43 and 44, if I may. Jesus said that when an unclean spirit leaves a man or a woman, he leaves, he goes out into dry places, he's trying to find a place where he can abide. And when he realizes that he can't find anywhere to go, he goes back to the last place he had access to. The Bible says when he returned in this particular parable, he found that there had been deliverance, there had been a breakthrough. The issue was nobody was living in the house anymore. The issue was it was an empty place. The issue was it was clean, it was swept, but something was lacking. I want to preach today on this thought with the help of the Holy Ghost, simply no vacancy. No vacancy. Let's pray. Lord, I ask you, Holy Ghost, to meet with us today. I thank you for the anointing that I feel in this house. God, I'm nobody without you, Lord. I ask you to bless every visitor, bless every believer, every saint of God in this house. God, help me to deliver your word as I feel you give it to me, God. Bless us, I pray. Move on us today. I feel a special touch. Would you mind just slipping a hand to heaven or however you feel comfortable doing so and just ask the Lord, God, come in, Lord, feel my soul today, God. Help me, God, to be aware that you are among us, that you're moving, that you're speaking, God. Help me to realize that you want to move in my life, move in my family, move in my home, move in my marriage, move through my soul. In the name of Jesus, I pray. I thank you for it, Lord, by faith. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. God bless you in the name of Jesus. You may be seated. Thank you for standing for the reading of the word. Amen. No vacancy. Years ago, when I was a kid, my grandfather, who is now deceased, he would take us on these all-grandson trips, and they could be God knows where at. And I remember one particular trip, we went to Big Bend National Park. And my grandpa was so old school, we didn't know what a seatbelt was. He had a camper on back of that truck, and we all rode in the back of that camper, driving from Newton, Texas, to about 10 hours out west Texas. It's a miracle we didn't get in a wreck and die, but that's just how it was. He didn't believe either in Holiday Inn Express. I mean, he'd find the cheapest motel on the side of the road, and that was probably early 90s, And it didn't matter if it had roaches in it. We're going to stay in the cheapest place we could find. And he was just trying to get a bargain. And years ago, if you were riding down the road and trying to find a motel or a hotel, it often had a big neon or a light-up sign that either said no vacancy or vacancy. It was a simple way to let motorists know either we have room for you or we don't. And there was nothing more frustrating. When I was growing up, I didn't fly. I was in high school. We were people of the woods, and we didn't believe in flying hardly. And when I did fly, I prayed and prayed. It was right after 9/11. I prayed, God, please keep us in the air. I don't want to die going to Oregon. And I'll never forget, we were flying. But before we ever did that, my daddy, he would drive everywhere. We may drive 3 days across America trying to get to our destination. And I knew when Daddy was tired, his old leg would start shaking back and forth. And Mama may start rubbing his back, and I would think, God, please get us to a hotel as fast as we can. We don't want to die out here on the side of the road. And there was nothing worse, though, than driving in the middle of West Texas or Arizona, and it's the only motel for, it seemed like, 40 miles around. We didn't have a smartphone to let us know, just an old map that was 10 by 10. It filled the entire dash of the car, and we would go, and you'd see the sign flashing, no vacancy. Dad's mad. He didn't cuss, but he was on the verge of saying Christian cuss words, and he was mad. We were mad. We had all kinds of things in our hearts wondering, why in God's name, what are we going to do? And that sign, that no vacancy sign flashing, seemed so horrible to you when you're dead tired in the middle of the night trying to find somewhere to sleep. It lets you know that we're all filled up. Now, if you're a hotel owner, you love when that sign is flashing no vacancy, because you realize that you're now maximizing your potential and there's money coming inside the door. But so it is today. We just read in our text, Jesus, he's speaking in Matthew 12, and it's important you understand this point before I read this again, that God can set a man or a woman free. He does have that power, and he does do that from time to time. But I want you to notice what Jesus says here in verse 43, that when this unclean spirit goes out of a man, or in other words, when a man or a woman has been set free from the clutches of sin, and when they are filled with the Spirit of God, that spirit, he will still come back around looking for a way in. He walks through dry places. He's constantly seeking rest, and he finds none. And you listen to verse 44. I've read this chapter 1,000 times in my life, no doubt, but I never picked up on it until I was reading for this message. The Bible says the enemy in verse 44, he says, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he has come, he finds it empty, swept, and garnished. The enemy is so arrogant that even though he's been cast out, even though deliverance has come, he still refers to the last place he dwelled as my house. And he finds the house, the Bible says, clean, but it's empty and it's not filled. And he goes about and he finds seven more spirits that are more vile, that are more wicked than himself, and they enter into that house. And the scripture tragically tells us that the last state of that man, the last state of that woman, it is worse than the first. And I want to preach today a simple topic that Paul's words, I have preached here already numerous times, they stand out even more so on this Sunday morning in August when Paul told us that you should not be drunk with the worldly wine where it is in excess, but you need to be filled with the Spirit. I've told you, and I won't belabor the point today, that in the Greek, when it says be filled with the Spirit, it's not talking about a glass half filled with water. It's speaking about being completely controlled by the Holy Spirit. It's speaking of being fully controlled by his presence. He said you need to make sure that you're filled with the Spirit, and you make sure that you speak to yourselves in psalms and in hymns and in spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all the things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said you have to make sure that you keep the house filled. Paul said it's not enough to get deliverance one time, but there's got to be something in your life where you have to hang, if you will, a no vacancy sign on the door of your heart that lets hell know you cannot come back to this place. This house is full. There is no room for your kind anymore. Paul spoke to the Ephesians, and he said in the middle of Ephesians 4:27, you should not give place to the devil. It's more than being delivered just one time, but you have to be filled on a daily basis. I read a statement I thought was so profound. It said, it's not enough to sweep sin out. You've got to stock the shelves with righteousness. You got to make sure the house is lined with right living. We have people today living in houses half full, and your heart, it tragically this morning says vacancy over the door, and the enemy is having a heyday because the door of your heart, it is wide open, rather it be from past hurts, rather it be from lustful ideology and thoughts in your mind that you can't break, rather it be from a life of bitterness and hate and anger, rather it be from God seemingly not answering the prayer that you prayed, whatever it is, there's a vacancy sign hanging over your heart's door, and when that becomes something in your life, there is room for the adversary to ease back in and to take up residence. If you read Matthew chapter 24, I understand it's speaking of the second coming of Jesus Christ, but it also speaks to this message today and to our lives on a daily basis as well. Jesus said this in Matthew 24, 43, but know this, that if the master of the house, if the owner of the house, if he had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. I want to preach to this great group of believers today that it is essential and it is vital today that you be ready at all times. You have to make sure that you are filled with the power of His Spirit on a daily basis, because I know enough about the devil to know that he will come at you through people. He will come at you through life in general, and he will come at you through your thoughts and through voices, if you will, that try to attack your mind. And if you are not alert, if you are not aware, it can send you on the run and it can send you into hiding. The devil has tried, I'm sure, this week to even send people in this house into hiding. He's tried even this week to put some of you on the run, and he wants you to run into a cave of fear and into a cave of complacency. If you study 1 Kings, Elijah, he was God's man. He was in the will of God. If you read the story, God sent fire down from heaven, confirming his will on Elijah's life. This prophet of God, he stands and he confronts the people of Israel. He confronts sin and he asks that famous question, how long will you halt between two opinions? You've got to choose this day who you will serve, either the false prophet of Baal, or you'll serve the one true God. You know the story. The people of Israel, they turn their heart back to God, and he has 850 false prophets killed. You talk about victory. Fire from heaven has fallen. God has sent his word, or confirmed his word, and it seems like victory is just all around Elijah. And for whatever reason, he goes from having this no vacancy sign hanging outside of his heart to all of a sudden a vacancy sign appears at the heart of Elijah. Verse Kings 19 says in verse 1, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. In other words, I'm going to kill you, Elijah. And when he saw that, when he read the letter, the Bible says he arose and he ran for his life. And he went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. How do I know that he had a vacancy sign put on his heart's door. I know, because fear was the first thing that entered the house of Elijah. And in verse 4 it says, he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came and sat under a broom tree and he prayed that he might die, and said, it is enough now, Lord, take my life. I am no better than my father's. The house was now full of discouragement. It was asking God, since I can't kill myself, if you don't mind, would you go ahead and take my life? And if you follow the story of Elijah, after the enemy spoke to him, God did start the recovery process immediately on the day the devil spoke to him through that wicked woman Jezebel. But it took God 40 days to get Elijah back to where there was a no vacancy sign hanging on his heart's door. On the first day that evil word was spoken to Elijah, God told him, listen, son, I need you to eat. The journey's too great for you. I need you to make sure you got strength for this journey. The Bible says he eats. And then he does something again that makes no sense, because God ain't spoke to him. God ain't told him to do it. The Bible says he left there and he entered into a cave. And the Bible says there he dwelt. What was Elijah doing, good believers? Elijah was still on the run. Elijah was still hiding from a word sent from the enemy that God had already debunked. But God, from day 2 to day 40, is having to convince Elijah, I still got you. He's having to let Elijah know, my hand is still on you. And on day 40, in that cave, God begins to speak to Elijah again. And the first time he says, I'm the only one left, God, trying to do the work of God. Isn't it strange how 40 days early he watched the entire nation of God turn back to the Lord? But in a season when his heart got open, when he left the door open and a vacancy sign was placed there, he soon forgot the miracle that God had just done. It ain't even been 2 months yet, and he can't even remember what God had spoke some 2 months ago. He can't even remember the fire that fell from heaven. He can't even remember the people of Israel saying, we'll serve God. That's what happens when you leave the door of your heart open and there's a vacancy sign at the door. The adversary is a master of confusion. He is a master of coming in your life and causing doubt and unbelief. And he is a master of doing his dead level best to get you to forget where God brought you from and what God did for you. All he's wanting to do is try to make sure that you end up in a state that you cannot recover. Hear me, somebody right now who feels like you're in a cave and you will not recover. I'm going to tell you right now, the only reason you're in that cave is because God allowed you to be there. And the only reason you're sitting on pews this morning is because the hand of God is still on your life. The only reason you got breath in your body is because God woke you up this morning. But he sent this preacher to tell you, you've had a vacancy sign hanging up over your life for so long. The adversary comes and goes as he pleases, but he's come to send this preacher to try to shake the cobwebs in your mind and tell you, you've got to get out of that mess or it's going to be a grave for you. You've got to get out of what's trying to destroy you. The earthquake comes. Wind blows, fire comes. God's not in that. And again, the still small voice comes. What are you doing here, Elijah? And the Bible says when he heard the voice, he drew the mantle over himself. The Bible said, hear me, the Bible said he got up. And the Bible said he went to the mouth of the cave. And when he did, it don't say it in the Bible, but I know it's there because God's finna speak again. He hangs a no vacancy sign at the mouth of the cave. And the Bible says the word of the Lord came again.
and said, thank you. There's a little lady in Zarephath. She's a widow. She needs to be fed. There's a king named Jehaziel. He ain't been anointed yet. And there's a small boy named Elisha plowing the field right now. He's the next prophet unto you, son. What he's trying to say is this, Elijah. If you'll learn, God help me right now. If you'll close the door on the hurts of your life. If you'll close the door on what ain't fair, what ain't right. Why did God allow? What is God doing? And if you'll listen to me, Elijah, if you'll step, all I'm asking you to do, he ain't even left the cave. If you'll just show some progress, if you'll just get up and step to the mouth of the cave and stop hiding yourself and lining the walls with the excuses as to why you can't leave, if you'll just step there, Elijah, the word of God will speak again. And when I get done with you, Elijah, they'll write stories and say, where is the Lord God of Elijah? All because you got up out of what was holding you hostage. All because you got out of what was trying to cripple you.
I'm half crazy. It's just whatever. Let me just help somebody, Brother Corbin.
God's hand is still on you. Somebody hear that right now, because the devil convinced you and he sent a word and he put you on the run to a cave called fear and despair and doubt and confusion, and you can't hear the voice of God if you wanted to hear the voice of God. So God sent this 39-year-old preacher to tell you, my hand is still on you. God have mercy. He sent me to tell somebody, you're still right dab smack in the middle of my wheel.
You know what the devil hates? He hates being exposed, Brother Anthony. He does his best work in the cave. He does his best work, Brother Kelso, in isolation. He does his best work when you feel like nobody knows where you are. What does he do? He opens doors in your heart. And now it's a whole lot harder to get out of the cave when the vacancy sign has been hung there for so long that you can't see straight. You can't even pray anymore. Anybody been there before? Oh, Brad has. I've been there many days when I didn't have hardly a prayer to pray. And I've had to pray stuff like, God, let somebody pray for Brad today. Let somebody talk to me, talk about me. Please, God, I feel like I'm getting my brains beat out. What are you doing, preacher? I'm trying to partner in the spirit and say, God, I know the adversary. He's out to do three things. And that is to steal and to kill and to destroy. And if he can ever get you in a place to believe in the lie that you'll die where you are, he's got you where he needs you. But I've come today to preach, I believe, with the word from the Lord, and tell you, you've got to stand back up again and you've got to put a no vacancy sign at the door of your heart and say, no more. I've lived my last day with the adversary coming and going as he pleases.
You are surrounded, the Bible says, by a great cloud of witnesses. Not only that, but you are surrounded by a group of believers who God sent and who God strategically put in your life. Don't ever, I said it Wednesday night, I feel it again, don't you cut yourself off from the body. You make sure you stay connected to the flow, to the source called the church, because it's in the church that you get strength. It's in the church that God can send his word and heal you. It's in the church that Paul said, faith cometh by hearing hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord. It's in the house of God that you understand that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against me in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the righteousness of the Lord. God said, if you stay in the house, I can kick that devil smooth out. But you've got to stay connected to the house. You've got to make sure your life is anchored to the rock. Some of you need to go home. Altar call. Hear me. It's going to be a lifestyle, and I'll get this in a few minutes, but some of you need to get up in your spirit and say, fear, there's no vacancy here. Doubt, there's no vacancy here. Confusion, there's no vacancy here. Sickness, there's no vacancy. Come on, somebody. The devil's tried to run you crazy, saying your babies would never come back home. But tell the devil, you've ran my mind crazy for the last day. There is no vacancy here. I made up my mind. God will and God can whenever he gets ready to. When we were growing up, we had those, we called them blowout services, runaway services. If you were raised in Pentecost, you had all kinds of weird names for when God just break in the house. And if you weren't in Pentecost, you'd think, y'all crazy. What y'all doing, man? When I was growing up, though, we sung that old song, Sister Calico, that said, whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. His report says, his report. I don't know what it says. Just sing it. I don't know. Whatever. I was trying to make sure y'all help me out there. I was in a bind over there praying, God, help me out somewhere. But I've learned, though, that the Lord sent me to ask a question. I'm telling you to someone today, you've been believing the report of the adversary, and you let the devil put you almost in a grave. I preached it years ago. I feel it again this morning. Lazarus never understood. He never knew that he was buried for a resurrection. And some of you feel like you've been buried beneath the weight of doubt, guilt, unbelief, fear, confusion, but the Holy Ghost sent me to tell you it's because a vacancy sign was put there, but he's been keeping you all along, and you've been, oh God have mercy, and you've been buried for a resurrection. I said it Wednesday night, you're going to laugh again, you'll smile again. Just make up in your mind, devil, you can't live here. Devil, you can't come here. There is a no vacancy sign over my life. Lift your hands and thank God for that right now. God, we love you. God, we praise you. God, we magnify your name this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You won't know why Elijah went from fire, killing false prophets, to running for his life. I'll tell you why. It's very simple. Is when you start confronting stuff, when you confront fear head on, when you confront the spirit that's tried to ruin your family. See, I'm going to dig right here because some of you think, man, I'm just fighting. No, you're fighting spirits that have been sent to try to destroy your home and destroy your marriage and destroy your mind. And when you hear me, he hates being exposed because the word of the Lord is the only thing you need to expose him. And when you start opening the book and saying, listen, what happened to you, Elijah, it wasn't just some happenstance thing, but when you confronted sin, when you looked sin square ball in the eyes and said, you die today. This is where you quit. The devil said, I can't take that. I can't do that. And the reason why Elijah failed is because when you have a great mountaintop experience on the heels of a high, always comes an attack. And Elijah was not expecting it that day. But thanks be to God, the God who knows all things, looked ahead 40 days in time and said, just give me 40 days, Elijah. It's going to be all right. I'm going to take you through. I'm going to
on, tell somebody right now, God's got, I feel it again, God's got his hand on you. God's keeping you. The devil tried to destroy you, but give God 40 more days and see if God won't do something. Me and the devil had a tussle, but I won. Me and the devil had a tussle, but I won. Anyone know that song? Anybody know, you know what, Corbin? My God. I knew you did. I listened to it Friday, about tore my house up. There's something he said we agree on. I hate him, and he hates me. Me and the devil had a tussle, but I won. Some of you need to tell the devil, we've been tussling, but I'm through tussling. Some of you still ain't caught it yet, but when you've been in the pits of hell, and when God picks you up off the bottom, you can let the devil know, I was on my way out, but God, who is rich in mercy, he made a way for me. There's a no vacancy sign hanging over my door. I'm done. You come to Piano Bay. So some of you, you just need to open the door and say, see ya. Some of you need to open the door and say, hey, doubt, bye. I'll help some of your kids. Bye, Felicia. Some of you need to let the adversary know, I've let you live. You bunked up, we shacked up, we lived together. Some of you sleep with fear, you sleep with pride, and you wonder why you keep producing babies of fear and doubt. That's why you keep producing fear and doubt, is because the devil is shacked up in your house. But open the door and tell him, you gotta go. There is no vacancy in this house. There is no room in this house. Let's all stand, lift your hands to heaven. In the name of Jesus, I pray, God, right now, you would drive that spirit of hell that's trying to hold people hostage back to where it came from. In the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, drive it back, God. Drive it back, God. I'll never forget. Now, I'm strange. My good friend, Brother Whittemore, is preaching for us in this month. He's got, I don't know what it is, but he can preach for an hour and a half. And it's like his voice just gets stronger. I preach 30 and I'm dying, amen. But he and I, we'll send back and forth videos and whatever, choir song we like. I like old school African-American Black gospel. I love that. Me and the devil had a touch that fires me up, man. I'll never forget, almost 20 years ago, I was visiting a very good man, Brother Irvin, African-American church in Abilene, Texas. I never experienced anything like it in my life. I'd been on a 3-day fast. I was new to fasting. I didn't know that we don't fast to impress God. God ain't impressed with your fasting, I promise you that. But you fast to draw closer to God. I'll never forget to be in the house that night, fighting things in my own personal mind. I probably had 54 vacancy signs at my door. I'm serious. I'll never forget that good African-American brother. He was preaching that night. He said, son, oh God. He said, I'm going to pray for you. It's never happened before since. That's what he told me. He said, when I touch your belly, it's going to be like electricity shaking your insides up and down. Well, that's crazy. That don't make sense. Just hang with me, baby. It's the truth. God is my witness. I've never done it before or since. When he laid hands, it wasn't a man. It was the God of the man. But when he laid hands, it felt like from the top of my head, a bolt of lightning hit me, brother. And I jumped up. And I can't explain it. But something shook me
back and forth and would not let me go. Fast forward, hear me, about a year later or so, I was sick in my body. I would have moments during the day where I could not even hardly stand, had to lay down before I recovered. I was in a service, a man named Tom Jacobs preached for us that night. I said, Brother Jacobs, I don't know what's going on. He said, stop before you say anything. I see infection in your blood. And the Holy Ghost said, when I lay hands on you and touch your stomach, it'll feel like something's shaking you. God is my witness. Brother, when he touched me like this, it felt like something shook me inside. That's been almost 20 years ago, and I've not had one spell since. What I'm telling you is, I want to defuse the lie that tells you you'll die in your sickness. That is a lie from hell. I come against that in the name of Jesus. Hang a no vacancy sign at the door and say, not today, devil. This is not where I die.
The psalmist said, and I'm done. Psalmist said, I shall not die. I need someone to say that over your life. I shall not die. But live. Anyone know what the rest of the verse says? And declare. I'm going to speak praises. He said, I ain't just speaking, I won't die. But when I get done not dying, I'm going to let the world know. Look what the Lord has done. I was bound by meth. I was bound by heroin. Look what the Lord has done. I was addicted and I couldn't stop drinking. Look what the Lord has done. I was messed up. My marriage was on the rocks. But look what the Lord has done. I shall not die.
If you walked in this house this morning and you feel like your world's in a tailspin and you feel like your life's falling apart, you hear this preacher today. You didn't just step in to this crazy Pentecostal church where people lift their hands and they still shout and they still jump, they still run, they still roll. Amen. It's the will of God. Good God Almighty. You didn't come up in this house on accident. But the Holy Ghost divinely, strategically placed you in the body to let you know, listen to me, there's been a vacant sign over your mind, and that's why you can't sleep at night. That's why you take pills, God help me right now, to go to bed. That's why you can't even get going without taking pills. But the Lord sent me to tell you, I can heal that today. I can set your mind free today. I can deliver you today. Last week, I'm half crazy. I like black gospel. I like Christian rap sometimes. I like Christian country. I listen to all kinds of stuff. Anybody remember listening to Carmen? If you ain't, you need to listen to my man Carmen. My mama and I used to go to this concert, but I'm sure it wasn't to worship Jesus. They just thought he was good looking. But Carmen has some good songs. And Carmen was singing the songs. I've been delivered. I've been delivered. The hold the devil had on me, he ain't got no more. I've been delivered. Woo! I've been delivered. I've been delivered by the hand of the Lord. Come on, somebody. God wants to deliver your mind today. God wants to set your mind free today. There's a no vacancy sign hanging over my life. I've been delivered. Good God Almighty, I feel like running. God help
me. Power in the
tell you something. The adversary, he does whatever he can to get you out of God's purpose, out of God's will, out of God's church. Never will forget Elder J.J. Bourne, great prophet of God among us. Years ago, he told the story of Sister Frazier, Brother Greg Frazier, pastors Jackson, Mississippi, Brother Chrissy, Brother Kraft's old church, and his mother was a blind woman, all of her life, but a praying dynamo. And Brother J.J. Bourne told the story. I'm going to use this message to help you understand something. He hung a vacancy sign over his heart's door and said, we're done. We tried, and God didn't do it, or God didn't work it out. We're leaving where we are. He was at his old church. He said, we're leaving this place. God's done. We're done. He said, but before I come home, I'm going to stop by Sister Fraser's house and just see if God won't speak a word. She's blind. He said, I drove up. He said, when I got there, the front door was open, but the screen door was closed, and I heard her praying. He said, instead of disturbing Sister Frazier, I went and sat on the couch. He said, here directly, she came bouncing on her knees in prayer under the power of the Holy Ghost. Had no idea he was there. And this is what she said when she passed by. Don't pack the boxes. Don't pack the boxes. And right then, God sealed it up and said, there's a no vacancy sign here. I'm going to tell somebody, don't pack up on God yet. Don't pack up on God yet. There's a no vacancy sign coming, and God wants you to know you're right in the middle of where he's got you right now. Come on, one more time, lift your hands. Let's sing this song. There is deliverance in the name. There is healing in the name.
There's deliverance.
Oh, yes.
Healing in his name. Victory.
Power.
Power in his name.
There's
deliverance.
There's healing.
Healing in his name. Victory.
Oh,
power in His name, we got a right to pray.
And the worship,
worship the nation.
There's deliverance,
deliverance.
There's deliverance,
deliverance in Jesus' name. There's deliverance, healing in His name, victory. Power in His name, there's deliverance, healing in His name, victory. Power in His name. Praise, worship the nation. There's deliverance, deliverance in Jesus' name.
Oh,
I'm gonna shout for joy because He set me free. Sing and dance, He delivered me. Sing my praise to the King of Kings. There's deliverance in His name. I'm gonna shout for joy because He set me free. Sing and dance, He delivered me. Sing my praise to the King of Kings. There's deliverance in His name. Deliverance, healing in His name. Victory, power in the same. There's deliverance, healing in His name. Victory, power in the same. We got a right to praise, worship on a shame. There's deliverance, deliverance in Jesus' name.
Listen,
oh Satan, you're a liar. Jesus has no power. You can't bring me down. I'm here beside you.
Oh Satan, you're a liar.
You can't bring me down, I can't
bring me down.
to your neighbor and tell them, don't pack up on God yet. Come on, turn to somebody else, tell them, don't pack up on God yet. When you leave here today, make sure there's a no vacancy sign hanging over your heart. How do you do it, preacher? I didn't get to it, but we'll be practical real fast. It's simple. It's as simple as do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. It's simply living a life of faithfulness, of prayer, of devotion, of continuing to serve God in spite of the circumstance. You hear me? God, Brother Stone King said it, I've said it before, God honors consistency. And when there is a consistent lifestyle of holiness, of separation from the world, of doing all you can to please the Lord, God will make sure He guards your heart and guards your mind. It's up to you to say, devil, I'm not retreating. I'm standing at the door saying, nobody's welcome here but Jesus only. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word today. Thank you for this great church. Help us, Holy Ghost. Help us, Holy Ghost, to put that no vacancy sign there. Devil, you're not welcome here no more. Goodbye, fear. Goodbye, doubt. Goodbye, unbelief. Goodbye, sickness. Goodbye, bitterness. Goodbye, despair. No vacancy here. Come on, somebody. No vacancy over my life, over my kids, over my family today. I feel this and I'll hush. I was preaching some 15 years ago in a small community called Bethel Grove, Louisiana. I'll never forget, all my life I had faced spirit of fear and some things, and it is a bad deal. I'll never forget that night I preached about that stuff, that God could set you free. And I'm saying this because I need to help a mama right now and a daddy who's got kids that the devil's trying to attack their minds. Never will forget that night. Sunday evening service concluded, and I saw this woman come aside out in the middle aisle bringing a small little girl about 10, 11 years old. She said, Brother Davis, she said, would you please pray for my baby? She said, for years and years she has battled the spirit of fear. She cannot go to bed. She comes in the middle of the night and sleeps by my door because fear is running her crazy. And here I am. I was still battling this stuff, but I knew I was sick and tired of it. So I'll never forget, it wasn't me. I laid hands on that baby. I said, God, I ask you to remove this nasty spirit of fear that's tormenting this baby's mind. Hear me, somebody. It was the mother. Hear me. It was the mother that stepped in the gap and say, when she can't do it herself, I'm going to help her right here. I'm going to stand in the gap. God, help me right now. I'm going to stand in the gap for my baby. I went back and preached 6 months later. Her mama came down the aisle again. I said, how's your baby doing? She said, Brother Davis, only one time in 6 months has that spirit been back, and it's not been back again. Why? Because a mama said, you can't live here. I need a mama and a daddy right now to tell it, the devil, you've messed with my baby long enough. You cannot live in their mind. You cannot live in their soul. Come on, somebody, right now. I feel it right now. Pray it over your babies right now. Devil, you can't have them. Devil, I rebuke the spirit of compromise off of our kids. I bind the spirit of fear. I bind the spirit of confusion off of our babies right now. No vacancy. Somebody hear me right now. Deuteronomy 6. I'm done, I promise. Deuteronomy 6. Moses told the people, you teach your kids. When they get up, teach it. When they walk by the way, teach it. When they lay down, teach it. What was he saying? Until they leave the home, put a no vacancy sign over your home and say, if you mess with them, you got to come through me. Case in point. A little boy is bound by the devil. The Bible said anytime around the fire, he would throw himself in the fire. Anytime around the water, he would try to throw himself in the water and drown himself, this spirit would. But his father, not the boy because he couldn't, but his father, found Jesus and said, my boy's in a bind right now. Can you do something for him? And God honored daddy's faith. I'm telling you, mom and dad, you got more authority than you think you got right now. And God's going to honor your faith when you put your foot down in the spirit and say, no more. I feel resistance, but you don't scare me. I felt you before.
no more. You're not having their mind. You're not gonna destroy their mind before they're even 19, 20 years old. The devil is a lie. There's no vacancy over this home. No vacancy over my baby. You believe that? Amen. I'm a firm believer. I left TBC years ago. I'm embarrassed to say this, but when I left TBC, I didn't leave spiritual. I left backslid. I was in a bind, Bubba. I'm talking about acting a fool. I left that place. I wasn't spiritual, I promise you that. I moved to Beaumont and was going to do my own thing. And I told you the story, but I feel it today. I never will forget it as long as I live. I'm backslid. I'm at my house praying one day, and the Holy Ghost speaks to me in a backslidden condition, Sister Calico, and he told me, don't get comfortable here. And I thought, good God Almighty. He no more said that than Brother Craig Adams called me from he was pastoring Hope at the time, and said, I want you to come preach for me. And I thought, my God, I'm backslid. And God's still running after me. And I was standing in the books of me, and Mama had had surgery. I'm acting a fool. And Mama calls that day. I could almost take you where I was standing in the books of me. And she said, hey, boy, I just want you to know I was praying this morning, and I told the devil he can't have you. And inside books of me, and I realized, uh-oh, I'm in a bind because Mama done prayed. And Mama said, that's enough. That's as far as you run. I'm trying to tell somebody it was my mama's prayer that put me where I'm at today. Thank God for a mama who said no vacancy here. You see, because what I didn't know, is that when my mama was pregnant with me in old 86, Sister Edline Norty, a mighty prayer warrior of God, walked by Mama one service and said, you might just be carrying a preacher on the inside of you. And Mama said, not today, devil. There's something locked up in this boy. He ain't recognized it yet, but there's no vacancy here. God have mercy. Keep praying, Mama. Keep praying, Daddy. God, don't stop. We love you, God. Bless this church. Anoint us. Touch us. Bless tonight's service. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Everybody said amen. Everybody said, don't pack up. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. We'll see you back here at 5:15 for prayer. Praise God.
Back there, I didn't even know she was here.